This was 093197 Harrington versus CV. It's been vacated. And so we are going to go on to the last case of the day, which is 102226, and it's United States versus Thornton, and it's Mr. Cornea. Morning. Yeah, good morning.
Reed Cornea for Appellant Vernon Thornton. May it please the court, counsel. This case is, or at least the appeal in the case itself was pretty fact intensive, and I want to start off with a number of points that the government highlighted in its opening arguments and in its cross-examination of Stacey Amato. One was that Mr. Thornton, according to Ms. Amato, received several large deliveries of marijuana. Two, Thornton was Amato's only customer for these deliveries. And three...
But that's I thought the government said that was obviously not so, since, I'm always amused by the fact that it's the drug business in the United States. It's the only one that's fully converted to metric. all the rest of us are too slow, I guess, to do that.
It has helped my math skills and conversions.
A 4-kilogram shipment, of which somebody gets only 2 pounds, if you remember that 2.2 pounds is a kilo, suggests that something else is happening to the other 3 kilos.
Well, Your Honor, and the point being is that that was the third transaction where Mr. Thornton, after being called by Ms. Amato, said, I'll take essentially a kilo.
Right, yeah, a little short of a kilo.
But... the government spent a lot of time, they focused also on these other deliveries. And these other deliveries, the claim was, is that Mr. Thornton took all of this drug, all of the drugs in these, 8-kilo or 12-kilo deliveries, which is a considerable amount of marijuana.
Mr. Thornton's... That was 2 pounds, by the way.
Yeah.
Thought that 2 pounds is a personal use quantity is a little stunning.
Well, I won't comment on how much I've... hurt clients and their ability to go through that.
But, you probably shouldn't.
But
they must be in a haze at all times while speaking.
Many times, as the haze clears, they often regret what they've done. But there's, it's always astonishing to me the amount of substance abuse that goes on.
But getting to the points of your appeal, I didn't see anything wrong with the limitation, bearing in mind that I think a limitation of cross-examination, unless there's a confrontation clause problem, which I don't see, is under the district court's discretion. So the district court makes the very rational decision, I think, that if Amato gets into all sorts of dealings with various and sundry people, it could be confusing to the jury. It doesn't really pertain to what he got, does it?
Well, it does if you're arguing that it's personal use. And that's where Mr. Thornton was arguing, that this was, in fact, personal use. And he wanted to show through cross-examination of Ms. Amato, which the government never brought out in their direct.
Suppose she had just given him one joint. I mean, you still could have said, well, that's personal use. And, you wouldn't need to show that she was giving large quantities at other times.
No, but...
The charge in count two was attempt to possess marijuana, right?
Yes.
The judgment and commitment in your brief shows count two as being conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute. Conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute.
I believe
that's just an error in the judgment?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
And I missed that in the judgment.
Okay. So he's not charged with being part of the conspiracy that your examination was directed at.
Off the top of my head, Your Honor, I can't answer that specifically. I know I've had cases where a single individual has been charged as part of a conspiracy. But I don't recall off the top of my head. Maybe Ms. Rumbelow can clarify that if she can when she gets up here. But the fact of the matter is that we wanted to show, Mr. Thornton wanted to show, that this notion that all these large, these multi-kilo deliveries that were claimed to be going to him were in fact not going to him. Ms. Amato, when she is stopped by the police and questioned by him, she gets a telephone call from her boyfriend.
But she testified that not all of the delivery was going to Thornton.
Well, she testified that the last delivery that she had, he only wanted 2 pounds.
Right, 2 of the 3 pounds.
But the first delivery that she testifies about that occurred in December of 2008, she notes she wrapped the package and gave it to Thornton. She wrapped it as a Christmas present. And then she also goes on to testify on February 21st of 2009 that she had another package that she provided to Thornton.
Of course, she never said a word about whether he was a dealer or simply a person who wanted this phenomenal amount.
No, she didn't. But we wanted to pull out the fact that he did not receive all of this amount, and that there's other people involved who were more culpable.
I'm missing something, because whether she has other customers or whether she's more culpable isn't really irrelevant to whether he intends to distribute them marijuana or smoke it or swallow it or whatever they did.
It is, in the sense that it is relevant in that the government one has made it relevant. They brought these amounts up. Two, if he's only receiving small amounts for personal use and others are receiving the bulk of it, then the argument being can be raised and can be forwarded to the jury, and the jury, as the fact finder, can make that determination. Well, is 2 pounds a personal use amount? But instead, we get a...
I don't know if you want that jury.
Instead, we get stopped from doing so. We get stopped from asking that question. And I think the clearest error here is the judge. She doesn't really go... she doesn't go into why she's ruling against it. She gives a bare-bones explanation. She basically says, I agree with the government. Let's move on. And I think in order for you to make a determination if there was an abuse of discretion, much more needs to be put on the record in regards to that. Failure to exercise discretion, this is, however, uncanonized, that discretion is an abuse of discretion. She did not explain why she was not going to let it be relevant. Furthermore, in regards to the confrontation clauses, as the court has brought up, a defendant has a right to question, cross-examine on the issue of bias and a witness's willingness to lie. And again, because we were prevented from going in and saying, look, when Nino called you with the detectives there, the detectives listening, and he was asking, well, have you got this to Ernesto? Have you got this to Augusta? Have you got this to Renee? He never mentions Thornton. This is information.
Before your time expires, I wondered if you could say a word about your Rule 702 objection. Because I'm not sure, once all was said and done, what was the problem with Bowden or Hannon's testimony. Even if there was some slippage about getting CVs and the like, doesn't the court address that?
The court does address that. And the biggest issue with the 703 arguments and the 701 is that, as is often the case in these circumstances, what the detective, Agent Baldwin, was relying on was hearsay. He was relying on information gathered for law enforcement purposes.
But are you arguing that police officers, which I'll use as a generic, can testify about drug identity only if they're also users?
If they have personal experience with it,
because they do it. I mean, they've seen it all the time.
If they're going to testify as an expert, then yes, they have to provide a CV. If I'm going to testify as an expert, I have to provide a CV explaining why I can testify as to the drug amounts.
Wait. He reviewed the relevant manufacturer's literature. He examined the ammunition, and he testified where in his educated opinion it came from.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Well, a coroner does the same thing. A coroner does an investigation, dissects the body, determines the cause of death. Does the coroner then turn that report over and have the detective then testify about that? Absolutely not.
No, but the coroner also doesn't have to introduce into testimony all of his medical school textbooks.
Then those textbooks are hearsay.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
anyway.
And I understand that, but what we have here is manufacturers providing material that is like the examination.
But it's the ordinary material that firearms experts rely on.
Sure. But, well, it's material that's been gathered for the purpose by the ATF for training its agents to testify about the interstate nexus.
Thanks. Hi, Ms. Rumblow.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Rita Rumblow, Mr. Cornea. To answer Judge Tinder's question first, I don't know why the judgment said conspiracy either. I guess I never noticed that, but Mr. Thornton was charged with three substantive counts, one being possession with intent to distribute the marijuana, and that would have been the marijuana in his home, the 10 bags in the duffel bag next to a large scale. And then the second count was the attempted possession, which was of course, the 2 pounds that he never did get his hands on at the Dollar Tree store that day. And I think this court acknowledges that the district court did not err when it limited the cross-examination of Stacey Amato. Her credibility really wasn't a central issue. It's not like Stacey Amato was trying to convince the jury, Mr. Thornton is a drug distributor, I've seen him distribute drugs to other people, and he intended to distribute this marijuana. She simply testified to what she did. She was like, look, the officers arrested me, they put me in a car, I agreed to make a phone call to the person whom this marijuana was intended for. The police officers surveil him from his house, and lo and behold, it's Mr. Thornton. That's what she testified to, and that he wanted and the officers heard him on the phone saying he wanted the 2 pounds. So the jury then correctly determined that 2 pounds is a distribution amount, and that's why
what evidence suggested that for the jury? Were you relying on community savvy?
It really did end up to that, because I didn't have my officers testify then as experts because of this whole Rule 16 snafu. But the jury just applied its common sense, and two pounds here, and remember the other delivery had just been a couple weeks prior to that, and he still had the 10 bags in his house next to the scale.
How much scale, right?
Yes.
What was the total weight of that?
Well, the 10 bags varied in weight from, like, some of them were like 12 grams, maybe just, and then some were as high as 38 grams. So it was a couple hundred grams, coupled then with, again, him wanting to take possession of this 2 pounds just several weeks later. The jury in this case just applied its common sense.
Are you asking us to do that? What are you?
No, I'm just saying that Judge Crabb didn't err then in limiting the cross-examination of Stacey Amato. It was just kind of a non-issue. She did not abuse her discretion at all with that evidentiary ruling, and neither did she, err in determining that Agent Baudouin could testify as an expert.
That could be a serious gap in some cases. I mean, I recognize this trial took place in Madison. Maybe we'll take judicial notice of
the special expertise of the citizens of Madison.
The denier in Madison. Yes.
Boy, if this doesn't make how appealing, I don't know what will.
Right. I mean,
that wasn't my intention, but there certainly could be cases where, you know, you don't want people to just be making assumptions about, this is a big difference in penalty for defendants.
Yes, but again, in this case, because he had the empty FedEx package in the back of his truck, he still had marijuana in his home, he was trying to take possession of another kilo of marijuana with the scale at his home. I think, and again, the way that marijuana was packaged in his home, the totality here. And again, on appeal, they didn't really attack the sufficiency of the evidence for that. They just are attacking Stacey Amato's credibility. But again, and the court also did not err when determining that Agent Baudouin could testify as an expert regarding the interstate transportation of this ammunition.
Was the ammunition, it was marked in some way, wasn't it?
Every piece of ammunition has a head stamp on it, but in this particular...
And wasn't there a box?
Yes,
did the box have some indication of the place of origin?
It did. Yeah. It did. So Agent Baudouin testified on the stand that he, compared the head stamp to the ammunition, and coupled with the information that was on the box, along with all of his training, experience, knowledge, and other things that he considers when he's testifying, and that's how he, you know, formed his opinion for the jury. But here we even had the box with all the stampings on it, which you don't get in every case. So unless the court has any further questions, I ask, please, that you affirm the judgment conviction order.
Thank you, Ms. Rumbelow. Mr. Corney, do you have anything you want to add? You would just what? Well, I want to thank you, as a matter of fact, because you were court appointed, and you have the thanks of the court for trying so hard for your client. And, of course, the U.S. Attorney's Office always has our thanks. So I guess that's it. The case will be taken under advisement. This court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow morning. And thank you. Have good trips back, all three of you.